All right, before we look to the Word of God, then let's look to the God of the Word. Our Father, we thank you that we can meet together, and we thank you for this group of believers that we can come together, we can rub shoulders, we can support each other in the fact that we are called out from the world. That's why we're called a church, those that are called out. We're called out from the world. And the reason for that is because your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ, overcame the world, so we have that potential now. And we thank you for the fact that since we're called out, we're in the world, but we're not of the world as to belonging to the world. And we thank you that as we meet together, we reinforce that in our minds, that as we come here, these are people of like faith and the people of like perspective in terms of dealing with the world. And we'd ask as we look in your word today that we see those things that are prevalent, that you want to demonstrate to us through your word so that we can use those truths and those concepts in living a life pleasing to you, and we'll be giving you the thanks. Amen. We've been looking from Scripture. I always add that little phrase, from Scripture. Why do you say that, Rich? You know, a lot of, I've known pastors that got their message from Reader's Digest and from other places, but we're getting it from Scripture. We've looked at, from Scripture, what a spiritual Christian is. Now, there's a lot of hocus-pocus, dominocus, make-believe about what a spiritual Christian is. And a spiritual Christian, the ending on the word simply means emanating or showing forth things of the Spirit. Now, the capital S, Spirit, deals with a Christian in the realm of our little s, human spirit, in the realm of our rationale. In the case I forget to emphasize it later, which I hope I don't, it is, if by saying that the Holy Spirit enables us in the realm of our rational thought, what we are also saying or implying in that statement, in the, which we get right out of the second chapter of 1 Corinthians, implied in that statement is anytime emotions are ruling our decision making, it's probably going to go wrong. I used to say go south, but now I say go north. It's going to go wrong if we're ruling, making our if we're making our decisions out of emotion. I can say very safely from Scripture, if I make a decision based solely on emotion and not rationale, it's not of the Spirit. We can say that very clearly. Now, I want to review the reason I didn't, this didn't fit outline four. I want to review all the things that we've gone through so far. And the reason for that is we're building a case. What we're going to study today does not stand on its own. It's building a case. It has these other foundational concepts underneath it that we need to remember before we can look at what we're going to see today. Now, having said that, I will try to give you a verse for each of the things we say here. I've gone over them. Each of the things I'm going to reiterate today, we've gone over several times in different ways. And here, most of the time, I try to give you a verse for it. Now, the spiritual Christian, the one who is emanating things of the Holy Spirit, by the way, that term implies action. If I'm just sitting and not interacting with anybody and not doing anything, I'm not emanating the Holy Spirit necessarily. So the spiritual Christian discerns, and I would say even farther, has an eagerness to learn about their new birth, about their salvation. And we're not talking about past tense. We're talking about all the riches that we have in our salvation in the present tense. That's in 1 Corinthians 2, verses 9 through verse 15. The spiritual Christian compares things that you learn from the Holy Spirit, from the Bible, and applies them to spiritual situations in the life, in your life. You cannot do that without enabling the Holy Spirit. The spiritual Christian distinguishes between things that are fitting in character and things that are lacking in character. I want you to notice that definition. And we found, I gave you the verse for it over in Hebrews 5:14. That's not saying that it distinguishes good and bad, sin or not sin. It's layers of meaning as to what is the most proficient way to glorify our Savior Jesus Christ. What I'm trying to point out is, they are, and well, let's just do a verse. Let's go to James. Let's show you something. I'll give you a very concrete example of this. James, and we want to look at the fourth chapter. James 4, verse 13. Go now, you that say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a breath that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away. For what you ought to say, if the Lord desirously wills, we shall live and do this or that. Now, in back in verse 13, where it says this guy, let's just make up a scenario, not make up, let's extend this scenario, where a guy says, I'm going to go to a certain city because I've got to make money. And he might have a legitimate reason. Maybe the family needs the money. Who knows? But that would not be in and of itself a sin. There's nothing wrong. This is not an anti-capitalist. This is not a communist verse. It's not saying don't want to, you don't need, it's not saying that it's wrong to go and make money. What it's saying is it's wrong not to put the what God's will as in the one of, is one of the factors of why you go there. Let me put it another way. I'm going to say something that, again, may offend somebody, but I'm past the point of caring for that. The Lord never leads a Christian to go somewhere on a, for an extended amount of time where there's not a sound church. Let me say that again. Let's say that you, I, let's make, put it on me. Let's say I could go to a certain town and I can make 10 times of what I've ever made a year. The Lord will never lead me to do that if there's not a local church that is sound and that and will provide an environment that I can continue to grow spiritually. Period. So, if I want to go to a town and earn more money, there's nothing wrong in and of itself for that. That's what the verse is saying. But I better say, if the Lord wills. And the Lord doesn't will for Rich Schaefer to be in a situation where he can't grow spiritually. Now, let's review, keep our review. So, Hebrews 5:14 says that a Christian can look, a spiritual Christian, let's be real careful here, can look at situations and discern, well, that in and of itself going to make that money, there's nothing wrong with that, but it's not fitting in character because I wouldn't be able, I would be forsaking the gathering together of people of like faith. The Christian who is spiritual can discern that difference. What's the other side of that coin? A carnal Christian can't tell the difference. Now, moving right along in review. In Philippians, it says that we, using the fruit from the Spirit, of part of the fruit of the Spirit called love, we can see things that are of value. You know, over in Ephesians, the second chapter and 10th verse, it says that God the Father has marked out the good works for each of us. I can't invent a good work to from a human nature. Well, let's see, if I did this, I'd look good in front of the other Christians. That's not how it works. The Father has marked out what good works that I'm to do, and it's my job to discern what they are. Those are the things of value. I cannot do that without Spirit enabling. Now, another thing, if you'll turn to Ephesians 5:18, I want to review this. Oh, Richard, you come here every week. Yes, I'm going to keep coming to this verse until we all get it. Ephesians 5:18. Stop this, and by if you don't agree with my translation, you can read Weiss. This is a May with the me or May with a prohibitive in front of a intensive or imperative, and it should read, and stop being drunk with wine wherein is excess. Contrarywise, completely the opposite. Be being filled by, not with, by the Holy Spirit. We saved those three for you right there. Be being filled by the Holy Spirit. Now, there's several things we can get from that very simple phrase. One is that not where a Christian is not always filled by the Holy Spirit. Two is that all Christians have the potential to be filled. Now, I'm going to say only a spiritual Christian can be filled. We spent a couple weeks on that. Three, when we need to be filled is when something is lacking. And in this verse, what is lacking is in the area of an attack from the sin nature of the flesh. So I have to discern as a Christian when I need to be filled. So I have to self-examine my mind. Whoops, things are going sideways. And then I need to be filled. The Holy Spirit filling is not, I'm going to run. I know you think I'm being repetitious. I'm trying to be funny. But in a lot of churches, they think being filled is that you fall on the ground or jump up and down and act like there's something wrong with you. Being filled is the Holy Spirit makes up what is lacking in your thinking. If I'm being attacked and the temptation from one of my spiritual enemies is attractive, that's lacking. Now, the fourth thing we can get from this is that being filled is a repetitive thing. Eventually, we're going to go over to Hebrews, the fourth chapter, and show you the rest that a Christian can have, mental rest. Because you're not under attack. And when you're not under attack, you don't need to be filled because there's nothing lacking. So it's a repetitive thing. And it takes discernment from the Holy Spirit to know when to do that. Now, we also showed you in Galatians, the sixth chapter, in the first verse, that every Christian should know if they're spiritual, because one of the things you can do when you're spiritual, you can spot other Christians who are in trouble, and you can support them and help them out. You can't do that correctly if you're carnal. Now, today we're going to turn to Galatians, the fifth chapter, and we're going to look at the walking by the Holy Spirit. Galatians, the fifth chapter. And I'm going to change a preposition here. And believe me, it's the correct way to do this. The reason I say that is sometimes when I change verses, I don't want you to think I'm reading it wrong, which could be the case sometimes too, but I'm reading it correctly here when I change this preposition. Galatians, the fifth chapter, the 16th verse. This I say then, now watch. You see that word walk? There's three or four different words translated walk in the New Testament. One has to do with, they translate a conversation as well, has to do with routine of life. One is the step-by-step. But this one here has the idea of peripateto. It has the idea of order your lifestyle. So I'm going to translate it that way. This I say, order your lifestyle by, not in, by the Spirit. And you shall know never, little multicultural here, no way, Jose, fulfill the lust of the flesh. This is a very strong verse, a very strong promise, that if I order my lifestyle by the Holy Spirit. That's why we're going to get into yielding to the Father, because before I can walk by the Spirit, I have to yield to the Father. Now, I want to point out a couple things here, and then we'll go to yielding. One is, if ordering a lifestyle means there's some premeditation in your Christian life, I should have premeditation in what's going to happen in the next week, what I'm going to do and what I'm not going to do. Now, I'll give you an extreme example. If a person has a problem with drinking, I don't think they should spend all day walking back and forth in the aisles of a liquor store. You order your lifestyle so that it's the structure of your lifestyle has the most opportunity and has the most efficiency to please the Lord. Now that brings us over to back to Romans, the sixth chapter. So what we're saying is, let's summarize while you're turning to Romans, the sixth chapter. You know, there's no greater sound in a church than to hear the sound of the pages being turned in the Bible. That's better than the singing of any church you've ever heard. What we're saying is these two things. A spiritual Christian can be filled. Not all spiritual Christians have to be filled. So spiritual is a larger term than filled. Filled is for a very special occasions, or hopefully not too often occasions. Now, what we're going to say again, in terms of our definitions, walking by the Spirit requires first yielding our body to God. I can't walk by the Spirit, order my lifestyle by the Spirit, until I've yielded my body to God. Now that brings us back to the sixth chapter of the book of Romans. In the first four verses, you have the concept that a Christian has to have some knowledge of the fact that we were co-buried with Christ, that we were baptized into Christ's death and burial, and that we were risen with Christ. In the fifth through ninth verses, we have to believe. In the fifth through ninth verses, we have to believe that we're going to be raised from the dead, just like Christ was raised from the dead. And one of the beliefs in the eighth verse is that we're going to live with Him. Now, in the 11th verse, because God counts these things to be true, because God sees the past, the present, the future simultaneously and can tell them apart sequentially at the same time, because God sees the future and counts the future as so now, I'm to take by faith, verse 8, a part of the fruit of the Spirit, and have as my object the fact that I will be raised and I will be with Him. And in verse 11, I'm to count like He counts the future to be true now, that I'm dead to the sin nature. Sin nature ain't dead. But I'm dead. And then the 8th chapter and the 13th verse, it says, when I count myself dead to the appeals of the sin nature, the Holy Spirit will come in and He'll empower me to have my mind on other things. We talked about that. Other things, so that I won't do the practices that the sin nature wants me to do. Now that is not the end of the story. The last part of verse 11 says, after I consider myself dead to the sin nature and the Holy Spirit starts diminishing the appeals of that attack and those temptations from the sin nature, that I am to reckon or to count myself alive unto God the Father. That's where my true allegiance, my fiat is with God the Father in the third heaven. Now that brings us down to verse, that was all summary and review. Now that brings us down to verse 12 of the sixth chapter. Stop letting the sin nature therefore reign as a king in your diable body. That's important. Many, not all, of the works of the flesh that are listed over in the fifth chapter of the book of Galatians, many of those works are tied to the fact that we're all in a body that's subject to death. The first four works of the flesh are misuses of the reproductive nature of the fact that we're all going to die, more physically, if the Lord doesn't come. So when He talks about our mortal body, that's what we need to consider. One of the ways I reckon myself dead to the sin nature and risen alive unto the God the Father in the third heaven is because I know this body that I'm in is temporary. And Paul calls it a tent over in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. And in the first chapter of 1 Peter, Peter calls it a tent. In other words, this body is just temporary. This body wants me to do that because, remember, the works of the flesh come through the soul, bodily appetites. And if I know that this body is not me, it's just who me, what me is in for a temporary time, and in the future I'm going to be in another body, a glorified body, this body reconstituted in a glorified body. I'm living that future today. Stop letting sin, therefore, reign as king in your diable body, that you should obey the lusts that come, and the lust goes back to the sin. The sin should have an article there, thereof. Verse 13, stop yielding your members as weapons of unrighteousness. Let's stop there. I don't have a bodily member that is named fornication, but I got members that can do it. I don't have a bodily member that does other things that are listed as works of the flesh, but I got members of my body that can do it. And what it's saying here, that I as a Christian need to separate me, the person, from my body. I look at you, and I try, and the best I can, given that I know from Scripture, I try not to judge who you are based on what you look like. I don't want to sound like Martin Luther King. What I'm trying, Junior, not the Martin Luther. What I'm trying to say is, to overcome the sin nature, you need to divorce the fact that you, the person, are not the body. The body is what you're in. I, the person, can be dead. Dead means I'm absolutely non-responsive to what that body wants. Neither yield yourself as members your members of your body, the human body. This is what's called a figure of speech. I don't have a member called stealing stuff. I don't have a member called bad language. I have members that can do that stuff. Neither, or stop yielding your members as, actually the word should be weapons of unrighteousness. Now, whenever you see righteousness and unrighteousness, I want you to take that us at the end. It means activity. Unrighteous acts. Righteous acts. But as unrighteousness for the sin nature, but yield, and we'll talk about yield in just a minute, yourself unto the God, that be God the Father, as those that are alive out from among dead ones. You see, if I don't understand back in verses 3 and 4 that I, in God the Father's mind, was counted to have died in Christ, then I'm not going to understand this verse. Those bodily appetites that come through and attempt to get me to thwart my ability to please God, I have to look at the future and count myself as dead to them. By the way, I can't do it on my own, because when I do that, the Holy Spirit will come in and say, now listen, here's some other thoughts. Here's some alternative thoughts. Here's some thoughts in the mind of Christ. You know, the sin nature wants you to do this, but God wants you to do this. I have to choose. But if I determine to yield my body, now this word yield has the idea of, it actually is two words, compound word. It has to do with, it just means to stand beside. It came to mean, the derived meaning came to mean to be available, to be at the disposal. So I have to put my dyable body at the disposal of God. The Father, it would be here with the article. Not at the disposal of the sin nature. By the way, verse 13 of this chapter, or verse 16 rather, of this chapter says they're going to be at the disposal of one or the other. And it's me who has to determine that, aided, enabled in the realm of thinking by the Holy Spirit. But yield yourself, middle verse 13, unto God the Father as those that are alive out from among. Remember the word dead is plural. Out from among dead ones. It's an ek there. It means out. You have an apple. You have different prepositions that mean out. And this means to come out from something to another. Let me show you what is trying, a good example, a mind picture, as you were, of what it's explaining. If you'll turn, keep your finger here and turn with me over to Ephesians, the fifth chapter, and we want to look at verse 14. Ephesians, the fifth chapter, and we want to look at verse 14. In this passage, you have some Christians back in chapter 5, verses 3 through 5, who are not acting. They're not spiritual Christians. They're carnal. And you have here in verse 11, Paul tells them that Paul and the Holy Spirit says that they have no sharing in common with unfruitful works. So they're doing religious works, but they're not fruitful. And that brings us down to verse 14. And this is a concept you need to get to understand a lot of quotations of the Old Testament, New Testament. Paul and the Holy Spirit are going to take a partial concept out of the Psalm. Here in this case, it's Psalm 44, verse 23. And they're going to take the truth, the overall truth there, and he's going to apply it and make it New Testament truth. So in the Psalm, there is a admonition to those that have gone, Psalm 44, some of the Israelites had gone after foreign gods. And the admonition is, wake up. Now, Paul takes that wake up and he's going to apply it to Christians over here. So this is not a direct quote of the Psalm. It's a saying that it's a similar circumstance. So when back in verse 11, when these Christians are doing unfruitful works, Paul is saying that's analogous to going after foreign gods, because it's not for the God. Now that brings us down to verse 14. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepeth, and arise, or stand up, out from the dead ones, and Christ shall shine. You know it says shall give you light. It should read shall shine on you. Now, what is it saying here? It's saying pictorially, or in figurative speech, that I as a Christian, if I'm not acting spiritually, if I'm carnal, in terms of appearance, I'm laying down in the graveyard of the unsaved. I'm acting just like an unsaved person. And Paul is saying this is a sickening sight. That Christians are just as acting as just as dead spiritually as unsaved people. Get up and act like you're alive. Awake and stand up out from among dead ones. Then he goes on to say, when I start acting like a Christian, and remember you can't do that on your own, you have to have the enabling of the Holy Spirit, that Christ will shine his light on me. Now I'm not going to do it today, because I have something that I forgot to do at the start. I'm going to do at the end. I'm going to challenge the men here. This is a talented and gifted. This is for your own study. Take the last part of verse 14 that says, "And Christ shall shine on you," and then I want you to read a good translation of 2 Corinthians 3:18 that says that we like mirrors will reflect Christ. And then I want you to read, I think it's Philippians Let me get it. Philippians, when I do that, I'm accessing my visual memory. Philippians 2:15, that we're to act as luminaries in a crooked nation. And what you're going to see there is, as a Christian, if I live a life according to the Holy Spirit, that I can reflect the light of Christ. This is pictorial, this is figuratively, and that I will reflect out as the life of Christ. You know why that is such an important concept? Because in the future, when I get my glorified body, I won't be reflecting anymore. I'll be the light source, and you will be too. Now, let's go back to first. Let's go back to Romans, the sixth chapter, and we want to look at verse 13. And then I think we'll go into another thing. Neither yield your bodily members, the ones that do the things of the flesh, as weapons of unrighteous acts, but make yourself available unto God the Father as those that are alive out from among dead ones. Don't act like you're in the graveyard, the spiritual graveyard of the unsaved. Stand up. Awake. Get out from the dead ones and your members. And yield your members, make available your members as weapons of righteous acts unto God. Now, we're going to develop it more next week, Lord willing. But to order my lifestyle by the Holy Spirit, the first thing I have to do is I have to yield my body and say, wait a minute, this body is temporary. By the way, it let me know that every day. This body is temporary. It's going to die, but I'm not going to. The person never dies, the body dies. I'm not going to give in to this body. I'm not going to give in to the sin nature housed in this body. But I can't do that on my own. I have to be rightly related to the Father in a family relationship, no unconfessed sins, and that way I'm rightly related to both the Son and the Holy Spirit. If I'm not rightly related to the Father, the only thing the Holy Spirit's going to do for me is grieve me and get it right. Now, I want all you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians, the 16th chapter. And I want you men to put on your big boy hats. And even you, because you'll be there someday. Let me read you something. I found this today. I want you to all be proud of me. I learned how to do a screenshot. Of all teenage murderers didn't have a father in the home. 71% of high school dropouts didn't have a father in the home. 70% of incarcerated youth didn't have a father in the home. 60% of convicted rapists didn't have a father in the home. Do you think a father is important? Now, I'm going to make a distinction in Corinthians here between a father and a dad. Everyone has a father. Not everyone has a dad. Not the way I'm using it. The connotation there. By the way, there's some ethnic percentages here. This might be offensive, but it's math. 64% of black kids that get in trouble don't have a father. 42% of Latino, 24% of white, and 16% of Asian that get into trouble don't have a father in the home, which I'll call a dad. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13. In this context, This is amazing. The previous verse is one of the more humorous verses for me in Scripture. He talks about Apollos, who Apollos apparently was one of the greatest speakers of the time, and very elegant in speech. And he tells Apollos, he's saying Apollos isn't coming back to Corinth to be your pastor till you guys clean up the act, because he's going to come at a more convenient time. And then that brings us to verse 13. So he's talking to some men who have not stood up for spiritual truth. There were people in Corinth, at Corinth, that knew better, but they didn't stand up when things went wrong. And Paul's not too happy about it. If you really read a good translation of 1 and 2 Corinthians, Paul isn't real nice with these people. He's chastising them left and right. And in verse 13, he says, watch, be alert. And then he tells, standing fast in the faith. So the whole basis that he's going to make the next statement is that you need to center what you do on the faith. And I'm going to say, based on the rest of this verse, particularly men in the assembly, if something's going wrong in the assembly, it's your job and mine to set it straight. And we do not ever condone heresy or condone somebody going against Scripture that's obviously against Scripture. Ever. And you're not entitled to your point of view. I'm not entitled to my point of view on any verse. It's what Scripture says. Let me give you an example, because I've embarrassed family members on this before. There's a certain denomination that comes around, and they seem to hit me every twice a year. And they come, and I see that they have in their hand this little pamphlet called Watchtower. And they start their little spiel, and I always say to them, wait a minute. You do not believe that Christ is equal to the Father. No, you do not believe Christ is equal to the Father. No, you do not believe that Christ is equal to the Father. I don't have anything to talk to you about in Scripture until you believe that. And then they'll look at me and they'll say, if you really want to know, you're not witnessing for Jehovah. You're witnessing against Jehovah. And by that time, sometimes it gets a little heated. That's standing up for the faith. No one is allowed to come up in my face and tell me absolute heresy that Christ is a brother of Satan and he's second to the Father and that he's not equal to the Father. You don't say that up in my face without me rebuking you. Yeah. Oh, I must have read the rest of this verse. Read it with me, men. Come on, men. Even little men. Sounds like a book we could write. Isn't there a book? Oh, okay. Behave yourself conduct yourself like men. Now, this word for be strong means show your strength. Don't just stand up there to these witnesses against Jehovah and say, you're entitled to your point. Oh, I see what you mean. No, you're wrong. You're the one that came to my house. I'm not going to your house and tell you how crazy you are. You came to my house. Act like a man. Manifest it in activity. Show it. Kratos. That you're strong. There are many times in Scripture where, like over in Colossians, where it says that every man mature in Christ. I think it includes women there. But here it doesn't. Here I think it's very specific. And I'm going to say something to every man here. And by the way, while I'm saying it, three fingers are pointing at me. As a man, as a husband, as a father, which is Father's Day, that you have to have your priorities in order. And I'm going to give you the two priorities you have to have. And whenever something's gone wrong in my life that has a resounding effect, it's because I got these priorities mixed up. And your number one priority is God. Period. Number two is family. Don't ever, as men, confuse and let the family rule what you think of God. Now, there'll be times where it seems like your loyalty to God will be in conflict to what the family wants. But if you do what God tells you to do in Scripture, it will be best for the family whether they like it or not. God, number one. Family, number two. Never make family number one. Now, that's probably not a Father's Day sermon that's taught anywhere else. But if the man does, this is Ephesians, the fifth chapter, what is best in the sight of God, it will be best for that family whether they like it or not. You know, we don't do choral readings here today, but we're going to do this right now. We're all going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. We'll just read the King James. Read it with me. If you don't read it, it'll give you five more years in purgatory. Okay. Let's go. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit like men. Be strong. Period. Family needs men. They don't need these feminized, what are the, I got to be careful here. Things they're turning out for men today. Be strong. But don't be just strong just to show that you're strong. Be strong in the faith. And I don't care when anybody in my family says it. The Bible says it. That's it. And if you as a man set that as a criteria in your family, you'll be surprised. Even though they might bucket it sometimes, they'll fall in line. And if they don't, it's to their own detriment. Watch you standing fast in the faith. I think here the word, the concept of faith has the idea of overcoming the, in this context, the three enemies. Act like a man. Show your strength. Don't just go over in a corner and, well, I'm as a man. Show your strength. They witness against Jehovah, and I tell them that every time. Our Father, we thank you for our assembly. We thank you that we can meet together. We thank you that we can say things that Scripture says and not be punished by our government today. We'd ask that that continue, and we continue in the future to be able to meet in peace. And we ask that all the men here act like men. And show leadership in the faith. Amen. Okay.